This is the Max Kellerman Show. Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, the ESPN app, and Sirius XM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. Reach us at 888-SAY-ESPN. That's 888-729-3776. What do you mean, reach us? It's reach me. I'm the only one sitting here. Raj and Chris don't have anything to say. The producer, the board op, or whatever you're called, Chris, until you guys mess something up and then I have to call you out. Otherwise, it's just me sitting here. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. By the way, that is a good idea. I'd like to hear, you know, like, you can reach us at this number. I'd like to hear, Raj, we should put it on the air, a conversation between Chris and a caller.
Oh, I don't know if we want that.
First, it's time for some Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Ugh, the Giants. It has been, when was the last time they won the Super Bowl? It was 2011. It has been, this is the 10th season since then. The 10th, just about a decade. We're going into a decade of futility on the offensive line. I know that the headline is Saquon Barkley touched the ball or carried the ball 15 times and at one point had 8 carries for negative 8 yards. Negative 8 yards, Saquon Barkley. I've said on First Take, on different outlets, when he was still in college, this is the greatest running back prospect of all time. Prospect. Because who else at that size was that fast? I'll give you a quick answer. No one. No one's ever been that size and that fast. He's 235 pounds, 4.440. No one's ever that size and that fast, ever. And that elusive, can stop on a dime, change directions, hurdle people, and has that kind of work ethic. The dude is working year-round, and when he talks, he sounds like a franchise quarterback, right? He sounds like Russell Wilson or Andrew Luck or someone like that when he talks. Just, he drank the Kool-Aid a long time ago. He lives and breathes football and knows every right answer to give you. And it's not because he thinks you want to hear it. It's because he has kind of, he's been inculcated with those values and believes them. So when he talks, he doesn't have to think, what's the right thing to say? It comes from the heart, and it's exactly what a football fan wants to hear. The way Russell Wilson or Andrew Luck talks and goes, yep, those are all the PC answers, but this dude believes it. I mean, and then as a rookie, how many rookies have ever been that good? You know, Ezekiel Elliott in his career, in his whole career, has never had as many yards from scrimmage as Saquon Barkley did in his rookie season. And by the way, when he was 21 years old, behind a putrid offensive line with a non-factor at quarterback. Think about that. More yards from scrimmage than Ezekiel Elliott has ever had as a 21-year-old rookie behind a horrible offensive line with a non-threat quarterback. And now we enter this season, and Saquon Barkley, number 26, the greatest running back prospect who ever lived. Let's be honest. The greatest running back prospect who ever lived has an offensive coordinator in Jason Garrett who rode Ezekiel Elliott on the Cowboys. Has a Joe Judge, that's kind of old school coach. We're going to run the ball. We're going to start with a run. We're going to use Saquon Barkley. We have to be solid, you know, in the running game. Not in the kicking game, in the running game. And week one, and by the way, let me back up a little bit. The Giants have done nothing but invest in the offensive line for years now. It's still no good, but it's high draft pick, first and second round draft pick, year after year, big money free agent signing, Nate Solder. Year after year, it's like, we're going to address the offensive line. And then they actually use resources to do it. Now, have they done it the way the Cowboys did it when they built their offensive line? Cowboys are really smart. It's first-round draft pick after first-round draft pick on the offensive line. Like, 4 out of 5 years, really high draft picks on offensive linemen. And then since then, they've been supplementing with, like, second- and third-round picks. The Giants haven't done it to that degree. But they've invested a lot of resources on the offensive line, including free agent money. And Solder opted out this year. I get it. And they still don't have it right. Pass protection's better, but now run blocking's no good. It's like a leaky boat. You know, you plug one hole, another hole is a problem. Gettleman has said When he took the job, he's got to fix the offensive line. Before this draft, he's got to fix the offensive line. What's it going to take? Is it a coaching issue? Is it a development issue? What is it? Saquon Barkley carried the ball 15 times yesterday, was hit in the backfield 11 out of the 15 times. Let me tell you something. When a dude is getting tackled as soon as he touches the ball in the backfield, that's not a tackle, that's a sack. Saquon Barkley was sacked 11 out of 15 times. That's more than two-thirds of the time he touches the ball. It's almost 75% of the time he touches the ball. He's sacked in the backfield. What, you think he's not elusive enough? Dude is plenty elusive. That's not the issue. It's not Saquon's fault that they can't run block. Now, I got to give it to the Pittsburgh Steelers. And this is the headline for most of the country. I'm just a Giants fan. I got to give it to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Ben Roethlisberger looks like as the best version that he could have looked, I think, the most you could have expected. He's been off for a long time. He's coming back from an injury. COVID means no preseason, no preseason games, very little, like no real practice the way it would normally be done. And this dude looked as, and by the way, he's almost 40 years old. Like Eli's gone, Rivers is cooked. There's Big Ben still going. It's still looking good. And Mike Tomlin is going to the Hall of Fame one day like Roethlisberger is because he's a great coach. Because in his worst season, where he not only, like, what are the Steelers going to do without the triplets, right? Like, the whole success is predicated on the triplets. Roethlisberger, Antonio Brown, and Le'Veon Bell. They lose Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell and Ben Roethlisberger then to injury, and they go 8-8. They went 8-8. Mike Tomlin is incapable of having a losing season. He's too competitive. So, and this Steelers team, I think, is designed more like a Tomlin team. You know, he, as all great coaches, adapts with the times. He got the job, remember, memorably, in his speech when they were introducing Mike Tomlin to the public, and it was like, oh, wow, Mike Tomlin got the job. Didn't see, really? Okay, that's a big deal. He wasn't like a sexy coaching hire at that moment. But, and the Steelers don't play games. They hire a coach, they leave him alone for 15, 20 years, right? Remember what Tomlin said at the introductory press conference? We're going to play Steelers football. Run the ball, stop the run. But the league changed. So the Steelers became on offense as much as a kind of fly down the field and vertical passing style game, you know, as any team, really. They were really one of those advanced offensive teams. Future-looking, forward-looking offensive teams. And he had great success doing that, Tomlin. Though they didn't win the Super Bowl, but he had great success. But this team, to me, once they made that Fitzpatrick, the Minkah Fitzpatrick trade in the middle of last year, this team looks like the kind that Mike Tomlin likes to coach. All 11 guys yesterday. Forget about stacking the box. He sent the whole team at Saquon Barkley. The whole team at Saquon Barkley. Okay, let me ask you something, Chris. Do I have to play the Tomlin sound now, or can I wait until I'm done talking about it?
Well, to tell you the truth, I was just told to tell you it was there, so okay. I do my job.
Thank you. Now I'm telling you what your job is. Don't tell me about the Tomlin sound anymore. I got it. Got it. Tomlin sound. Now, in a little while, if you haven't figured it out, you'll be hearing from Mike Tomlin an audio clip on this program. And until then, if Chris, if you, and then Raj, if you'd be so kind, I'd like to finish my thought. So, all right. So where was I? Run the ball, stop the run. Thank you, Chris. Mike Tomlin. Run the ball, stop the run. All 11 guys. You have a fourth-round pick from a couple years ago who ran a 4.6-something 40 as your running back, picking up 113 yards on the ground. I guess you're running the ball and stopping the – you don't need Le'Veon Bell for that if you're Mike Tomlin. And stopping – and by the way, Juju Smith-Schuster did just fine. Don't need Antonio Brown. And stopping the run – you put your whole football team on every down on number 26. It was 11 guys going to 26 every single play. Never seen anything like it. And now, by the way, Saquon still made some plays, right? He still caught some passes out of the backfield, but he wasn't getting anything on the ground. Nothing on the ground. Bad run blocking. Great offensive, great defensive plan by Tomlin. bad run blocking. What about Daniel Jones? If you're going to devote every guy in the field to stopping Saquon, shouldn't there be some people who are open for Daniel Jones? There were. And Daniel Jones was hitting him for the most part, right, when he had time to throw. Daniel Jones was okay in a lot of areas. Now, the Giants lost, and they may have lost anyway, but there were two critical plays. We just showed you one on ESPN News, and that was a bad decision. When you're going to score a touchdown if you just don't do anything stupid there. Take the sack or throw the ball away. It's the worst thing that's going to come out of that possession is 3 points. And that was a stupid play by Daniel Jones. The other one, I think T.J. Watt, the other interception, T.J. Watt made an outstanding play. And T.J. Watt is a stud, right? So sometimes guys are going to do that. And they have T.J. Watt and Micah Fitzpatrick. They have some studs on defense. I don't know how you're going to blame Daniel Jones for that. Sometimes the defense is just better than you are, right? And T.J. Watt is amazing. But that interception, that was stupid. But you know what? Like, I've been on Carson Wentz a lot about making bad decisions. He's in year five. Year five, you can't be doing that, especially not when you're paid to be the franchise quarterback. Daniel Jones is still on his rookie deal. He's in his second year. He's going to make some bad decisions like that. I'm not going to kill him for that today. The offensive line, which has been improved last year, and considering the amount of resources they devoted to the offensive line, of course it has to be improved, and it was improved last year, but has got to be, and I know Nate Solder opted out, I get it, they've got to be better than that, especially run blocking. Pass protection gets better, run blocking pops a leak. Run blocking gets better, something else pops. It's been 10 seasons address the offensive line. And I don't mean that it's okay. The Giants need, I'm a Giants fan, a shock and awe offensive line. Like they had every single time they win the Super Bowl. Bill Parcells with his hogs. Remember the Giants O-line in 07 and 11? That's how you build. Giants have been, like the Steelers traditionally, built around defense and a running game. Got to have the O-line fixed. It's been so long. Get it right. I don't want to hear any excuses anymore. Steelers are going to be a problem this year, including for Baltimore. I like Baltimore better, but Mike Tomlin has his quarterback back, and he has the kind of defense and run game that he likes. See, it's one thing for a coach to coach the kind to be good enough to coach a team that's not really in his style and coach it well as Tomlin does. It's another thing when you give that coach just the kind of team he likes. I think this is a Mike Tomlin style team. Here's Mike Tomlin after the game.
We had a commitment, and we weren't going to be bashful about that commitment. We thought that guy was a catalyst for whatever that they were going to do offensively. We put our secondary in harm's way some in an effort to do so. But it's a team game. They embraced that challenge. We needed to stack the line of scrimmage. We need to bring people like Mike Hilton and so forth, and we did. We did what we thought was necessary to minimize his impact on the game.
Yeah, so you kind of jeopardize your secondary, but not really when the quarterback doesn't have time to throw. Daniel Jones, for the most part, yesterday made good reads and good throws. Like, I have to say, I'm trying not to be impatient because they reached for him in the draft. He was very likely to be there later in the draft. Daniel Jones, you know, there's a word for a guy like that. It's called day two guy. Get him day two. The Giants took him day one, and they had two first-round picks. They took him with their first-round pick instead of taking Dwayne Haskins, and I was very upset at the time. Since then, the jury's out, but it looks like maybe it wasn't a bad decision. He has some talent, and he didn't fumble yesterday, which was big. A couple plays, you're like, oh, here comes the fumble. He didn't. So I'm trying not to be too impatient just because nowadays some quarterbacks hit the ground running like Kyler Murray, who was taken ahead of Daniel Jones. That doesn't mean that everyone has to be amazing the second season of their career. Daniel Jones is making progress. So far, it's okay. He's got to get better than this, but I'm not going to kill him, and I'm not going to kill Saquon for being sacked 11 times out of 15 carries in the backfield. But damn, Giants, could you finally... Don't tell me an adequate... Well, it's actually much improved. Actually, by this metric, they're top 10. Shut up. Have the best offensive line in the league. Try that. Have a top 5 O-line. And forget about the metrics for a second, and I'm into analytics. Have one that you can see. Boy, that's a good O-line. How long has it been since you watched the Giants O-line with your own eyes said, "They're real. That's a really good O-line. That's an elite O-line. Get out of here." Here's Saquon Barkley after the game. What happened in the run game? Why didn't it work, Saquon?
Not really too concerned about the stats. You got to give credit where credit's due. They have a great defense, especially defensive front. And they made some plays, and we weren't able to win the game today.
Now, look, this is what I mean by Saquon Barkley sounding like a franchise quarterback. By the way, why can't he throw? Can you imagine Saquon Barkley? If only he could throw. That's the quarterback you want. But listen, he is not going to blame injury. He was obviously hurt last year. It obviously affected his production. Like, if he got, I think it was 2,048 yards from scrimmage, and I want to say Ezekiel Elliott's top yards from scrimmage, this is off the top of my head, 2011, I think. Raj, something, get someone to look that up. But anyway, I think that's the case, as I recall. The point is, could you imagine behind a putrid offensive line and a non-quarterback at the time in Eli Manning, could you imagine, it's the end of his career, could you imagine running for more yards than Ezekiel Elliott ever has when you're 21 and Ezekiel Elliott has only ever ran behind the best or top two or three offensive line in the game? With a threat at quarterback and at receiver, and they ran the offense through Zeke, and he couldn't get as many yards from scrimmage at any point in his career as Saquon could behind a bad offensive line and a bad quarterback. Saquon is next level talented. Now, you want to criticize Saquon? This is what you can do. Ezekiel Elliott can block. Saquon missed a couple yesterday where it's like, come on, man, you got to be better than that. This is year three. And Saquon's desire to be a great overall player, you should be better than that. He dropped the pass. Yep, and he's normally a very good pass catcher. So it's not like he was perfect. And by the way, you could even say, hey, make lemonade out of lemons. You know, like, I get that you're caught. And he tried a couple times, hurdled a few guys, which I actually wasn't crazy about. At one point, I was like, oh, is that leg okay? But he was trying to get something done. But I'm not claiming he's perfect or he's got the perfect overall game. I'm saying I'm not looking at those yards. Oh, it's the lowest by any running back with this many carries since 1960. If you send all 11 at any running back and the line's not pass block and run blocking, you're going to have bad stats. I'm not worried about that. I'm not worried about Saquon, and I'm not panicking about Daniel Jones. He's made some. He was good as a rookie. He wasn't good, but he was good for a rookie. And now he's addressed the number one problem as a rookie, which was fumbling. And soon he's going to have to continue to develop in terms of decision making, particularly in the red zone. Just take the sack or throw the ball away. You can't turn it over in that situation. But still, he's a second-year player on his rookie deal. I'll cut him some slack. I will not cut the Giants organization from a drafting or player development perspective slack for going a decade without a great offensive line. It's absurd. This is fundamental to Giants football. The whole team should be built around a great O-line. Always. Always. You realize if you have a great O-line and you have mediocre everything else, you're going to be a competitive team. On offense, you're going to be a competitive team. 888-SAY-ESPN. 888. What is it? 3776? I'm doing that off the top of my head. Is that right, Raj? Yeah, 3776.
Yeah, you got it. Yeah,
888-729-3776. SAY-ESPN. That was Straight Talk Wireless, everything for less, only at Walmart. Let's see. Ezekiel Elliott, top total yards. Raj got it for me. 2001 in 2018. Saquon Barkley in 2018, his age 21 rookie year behind a bad offensive line with no quarterback when Zeke had a good quarterback and a great offensive line. Saquon Barkley, 2,028 total yards. They're not in the same class in terms of talent. I don't think anyone's in Saquon's class in terms of talent. Not in his class. Christian McCaffrey, but McCaffrey is, what, 20 pounds smaller? I'm not down on Saquon for last night. That's the Giants organization's fault. And credit the Steelers. That's a great organization with a great coach. By the way, throughout their histories, Giants and Steelers are similar. Northeast, family-owned, you know, based around normally, a great defense, right? Grind it out, kind of bunch of Super Bowls. Steelers got 6, Giants have 4. Of course, it could have easily been 5-5. Remember when the Giants were defending the title and McNabb just got out of the reach of, I believe it was Justin Tuck who had a hamstring at the time, hamstring problem, you know, like, and just got out of the reach. And the Eagles just won the game and then got to play Arizona. I mean, the Giants would have whooped Arizona and then they would have played the Steelers in the Super Bowl where they'd already beaten the Steelers at Lambeau earlier in the season. And who knows what happens? Maybe it would have been 5-5 with Super Bowls, but it's 6-4 Steelers. And the Steelers have been a better organization than the Giants. They're similar, but the Steelers are a little better version of what the Giants have been as an organization. And look, and by the way, they're even joined. What's the actress's name now? I'm forgetting. And her name is the last names of the owners of the Steelers and the Giants. Come on. Yeah, Mara, but. What's her name? Rooney. Anyway. The actress who was in The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. Anyway, like the families are joined even. Like old monarchies in Europe. Like when they got, like they're even. So they're similar in a lot of ways. But the Steelers are the better version of the Giants. They're more consistently competitive. Right now, they have a better coach, a better team, a better quarterback, a better defense, and their better defense beat the Giants. Not good enough offensive line as usual. 888-SAY-ESPN. All right. Coming up, I'm actually going to take these calls. I know there was another Monday night game last night too, and yeah, the Titans won. It's not what I'm interested in. But listen, if you're interested in it, we could talk about it, I guess. I'm going to hear some Saquon slander coming up, I'm sure. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, top of the QB board, had a big Sunday. Former Super Bowl winning Seahawk, Cliff Avril, drops by next. Sure was nice seeing the teams back out on the gridiron over the weekend. Lucky for us, that was just week one. There's no better place to get in on all the action than with DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports. To add to this week's excitement, DraftKings has millions of dollars in total prizes up for grabs. If you haven't tried DraftKings yet, head to the App Store now because you don't want to miss this. Draft your lineup now and feel the sweat like never before. Every run, pass, and catch means more with DraftKings. That is true. That is true. You become even more of a football degenerate with DraftKings. I could speak from experience. It's simple. Just pick your lineup, stay under the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. Download the DraftKings app now and use code MAX. For a limited time, new users can get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes this week. Don't miss out on the week 2 action. Enter code MAX, M-A-X, to get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes with your first deposit. That's code MAX only at DraftKings. Make it rain. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, ESPN News, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. Call me, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. By the way, we have former Seahawk defensive end standout Cliff Avril, who's going to join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Oh, and he is there. Okay, great. I was going to actually get to some calls, but as usual, I'll procrastinate some more. Cliff, you there?
Yes, sir. What's going on, Matt?
How are you? I like your Seattle team out of the NFC. My only question now is if Aaron Rodgers, by drafting Jordan Love, if they lit a fire under Aaron Rodgers, I don't know, because as great as Russell Wilson can play, I think that if Aaron Rodgers is at his best, only Mahomes is better. Well, how do you like your Seahawks' chances this year?
Ooh, that's a good one. I think just seeing what Russ was able to do this past weekend also shows you that he's elevating his game a little bit more, right? You know, usually they're a run-first team. You know, they come out, they throw a mess up the rock, and he puts up great numbers. He's always been efficient. So I say that to say, I mean, with Russ continue to grow, I don't think he's peaked yet. We've kind of seen Aaron Rodgers at his best. This is expected of Aaron. But this Russell Wilson that we're seeing, that we just seen this past weekend, I think he's in the running, man. I think he can be one of the most elite quarterbacks, if not the elite quarterback in the NFL this year.
Well, including Mahomes?
I'm just saying, Mahomes, of course, we know everybody's on the Mahomes train. We know Mahomes is great. Don't get me wrong. But I also don't feel like Russell Wilson has gotten enough credit for what he's been able to do.
Well, Cliff, I agree with you there. Russell Wilson, year in and year out, is an elite quarterback. I don't know why people were so quick to be like, yeah, Roethlisberger's a future Hall of Famer. Well, Russell Wilson easily is in that case. Russell Wilson, every year, like, because he started out sort of like Tom Brady. He's a game manager who's big on third down, relies on his defense and his coach, right? But he has that feel of a winner. But like Brady, as his career went on, in fact, you start looking at the numbers and you go, nah, Russell Wilson is the man, right? And I get all that. But what I'm saying is, as great as Russell Wilson is, you don't have to sell me on him. As I said, preseason pick, I like Seattle in the Super Bowl for the NFC, losing to the Chiefs. But Rodgers is physically, like when I see Mahomes and Rodgers, and to a different, in a different way, Lamar Jackson. But when I see Mahomes and Rodgers, I see dudes who are differently talented, even than Russell Wilson with their arm. They can do things that no one else can do. So I like, so I feel like if Russell Wilson, I think by most people's accounts, is the best in the NFC. But to me, if Aaron Rodgers is motivated, and brother, when you draft his replacement instead of a receiver, you have motive. Do you think a motivated Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, could be better than that?
I've seen both, and I've gone against both. And you know, I played Aaron Rodgers pretty much every single year in my career when I played. Elite quarterback. Obviously a Hall of Famer. He does a lot of great things. What I'm saying is, out of the two, we're talking about Mahomes and Russ, I'm going to go with Russ just based off of the longevity and the growth that he continues to have. Now, Mahomes, next 3 years, 4 years, if he continues to stay on this track, of course, I mean, he might be the GOAT. He might be the greatest to ever do it. But as of right now, with what I've seen in the last, I don't know, 8-9 years.
I get what you're doing. You're saying who deserves the top spot. I'm saying take a picture right now. Like, Mahomes, 50 touchdowns, 12 interceptions, basically as a rookie.
Can't go wrong with him.
And by the way, if not for a pre-snap penalty when Tom Brady threw the interception to end the AFC Championship game, then got it called back for a neutral zone infraction, some nonsense, encroachment. The point is, Mahomes never got to touch the ball again, or else they'd have been like, if the refs don't blow that whistle, I think he wins 2 Super Bowls in a row. And the dude only played 2 years, Cliff.
I'm not disagreeing. Again, I don't want it to be one of these things where it sounds like I'm hating on Mahomes, because the man is great. He's phenomenal. But I'm more of the longevity piece, right?
Yeah, give credit where it's due.
Yeah, that's more of my approach, right? Because it's just hard to be consistent in the NFL.
You're a Pro Bowler. You're a Super Bowl champion. You faced them both. But I have simulated games on Madden. Not recently. I didn't play the games, but I did simulate the games. So I think we're about even in terms of our expertise. Hey, Cliff, let me ask you about some of the other quarterbacks around the league, okay? Lamar Jackson, Warren Sharp of Sharp Analytics, was going on and on a couple years ago that Lamar Jackson as a 21-year-old was actually the most accurate passer who ever lived, right? No NFL quarterback at age 21 was ever a more accurate passer than Lamar. Doesn't mean he's going to wind up being the most accurate passer. It just means Peyton Manning, Andrew Luck, anyone you want to mention at 21 who got a lot of press wasn't as accurate as Lamar Jackson. But we all know, look, that's not really his calling card. He does things with his legs no one else could do and passes it well enough. But I got to tell you, he made some throws this week that how many other guys, like he elite throws, and he's only 23. Yeah. Where's Lamar in your mind as a passer?
You know what? He doesn't get enough credit for that, right? You know, you talk about his rookie year. A lot of people were talking about, hey, you know, you should move him, you know, move to a different position and all these different things. And he took that to heart. So these last 2 years, it's been extremely impressive to see him get back there. You know, he's unorthodox a little bit at times, but to get back there and make some of the throws, the boy can throw the rock. You know what I mean? And obviously with the stat you just gave with, you know, how accurate he is, clearly he can throw the ball. So I would put him at the top of the game as far as for that, especially being so young, being able to do so many different things. But then, okay, You add what he's able to do with his feet, obviously, and that's what really makes him so special. So you have that 1-2 punch. It's hard to match up against someone like that.
If he could win a single playoff game, he'd be in good shape. Meantime, he faced Baker Mayfield. Now, look, new coach again, new OC again. Like, this guy, it's like Alex Smith in the beginning of his career. Everything's turned over and over and over. But he has not been good. And, you know, he ran a 4.8, whatever it was, 40. The guy's like you going to run him down in the NFL, right? So, and he's not, so like, he's not Russell Wilson. And he's not Drew Brees. He was accurate in college because dudes were wide open. But he's not Drew Brees, right? Is he going to be a good NFL quarterback?
Man, listen, with all the weapons that this boy has, it's hard. It's like, how much more can you give him, right? How much more time can you really give him? You know, because he has weapons. He has Odell. He has Landry. He has a lot of weapons, right? His defense. He has the things that a lot of these other quarterbacks that we talk about that are elite, he has more than some of those guys. And yet, he still can't win ball games. He still can't get out of his own way at times. But he does show flashes. And the one thing with first-round quarterbacks, starting quarterbacks, you have way more opportunities than anybody else on the team to give up your job, in a sense, right? So, you know, he's going to continue to keep growing. It just starts to be one of those things as a fan or just a fan of the sport. Like, hey, man, how many more opportunities? What else do you want from us for you to be elite?
Yeah, exactly. Cliff, I appreciate you coming on today. You do have way more opportunities, by the way, as a first-round quarterback to give the job away, and seems like he's making the most of all those opportunities, Baker Mayfield. Cliff, thank you for coming on, brother. Appreciate it.
No, thanks for having
me. Oh, by the way, hey, we got to plug something. Cliff Averill and the Cliff Averill Family Foundation. You're going to be hosting the 7th annual Dining to Make a Difference. The event will recognize a local business for its support of not only the Cliff Averill Family Foundation's response to COVID-19, but also their support of the community. Did I do that well enough to justify this appearance today, Cliff?
No, you killed it, man. I appreciate it. Just one more thing, though.
Yep.
Everyone go check out CliffAverillFamilyFoundation.org to get more information on all the different things we're doing in the community. But, yes, I appreciate you plugging that.
CliffAverillFamilyFoundation.org. Appreciate it, Cliff. There it is, ladies and gentlemen. We did a lot of football. By the way, still haven't even touched on Kyler Murray, and there's a whole bunch more football still to do. But Clippers-Nuggets, Game 7 tonight. Oof. Plus, I made a promise. Your calls coming up, the Max Kellerman Show. As the NFL season gets underway, make sure you're ready everywhere you go with TuneIn and ESPN Radio. Hear in-depth analysis of your favorite team all season long. Plus, fuel your football fandom by listening to ESPN's biggest football podcasts on TuneIn, including the Adam Schefter podcast, Fantasy Focus Football, and the Mina Kimes Show with Lenny. Download the free TuneIn app to start listening today. Talking Game 7 next. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, the ESPN app, and SiriusXM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. That's right, Raj. I'm a giant in the mental. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Quoting home insurance just got easier with Progressive's Home Quote Explorer. Quote and buy all online at progressive.com. Dylan in New Jersey, you're on the Max Kellerman Show. Go.
Hey, Max, it's Dylan from New Jersey here. I am a diehard Giant fan like yourself. And, you know, what I saw last night was obviously not what I wanted the outcome to be. But I still, and I know there's no moral victories in the NFL, but I really feel like the Giants are headed in the right direction. If they can bolster down that offensive line and, you know, get the right side to, you know, play a little bit more competitive and figure out more of the right tackle.
But that, but like how many times? You got five positions on the offensive line, and you need some depth, right? Year after year, they're spending high draft picks and free agent money and trying to find guys off the scrap heap, doing anything they can, and it's not working. Well, okay, it's not working. They're improved. Last year, they were a lot better than the year before, but it's not like, whoa, the Giants have this devastating offensive line. I'm sick of it already. And by the way, I know Nate Solder's not there, and he's a competent pro. But the money they gave him to leave New England, no one thought that was a good idea except the Giants. And by the way, that contract really has been a disaster when you consider what the return on invest, the ROI is, return on investment is for the money they gave Nate Solder. Now, in his absence, he looks more valuable because at least he's a competent-ish tackle, right? So there's some value there. It's not easy to be a good tackle, but he's not, you know, they paid him like he's elite. He's far from that. They got to start getting this right. Is it an issue of identifying talent in the draft? Like Flowers, by the way, who was better once he left? Or is it an issue of really development? Because there's drafting on the one hand and development on the other. You have to start raising your eyebrows if offensive linemen who leave the Giants. Oh, wait, he's good. He just got another deal. He just got another contract. He's on a winning team. Well, why couldn't he do that with the Giants? Are the Giants that bad at identifying talent? Or are they that bad at coaching them up? I think it's probably the latter. John in New Jersey, you're on the Max Kellerman Show. Go. Mm-hmm. Michael in Texas, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, Max. I just wanted to toss this out here. I am a old school Texans fan, and it's difficult for me to watch D-Hop go to the Cardinals. I'm also a St. Louis Cardinals fan, so I was happy to see that.
How does that happen?
So I was happy the Cardinals won, and tough for the Texans. It's a shame.
How do you wind up? How do you wind up with a Texans and a Cardinals fan?
So I was a Texans fan because I came from Houston, from Santa Maria, California, to Houston with my father, and we had season tickets.
And your mom was in St. Louis at the time?
No, actually, I grew up playing baseball, and my dad coached me for the St. Louis Cardinals, so I grew up watching Ozzie.
Well, that's McGuire, it's a nice family story, but I'm sorry I asked immediately. Not interesting enough. No, listen. Without DeAndre Hopkins, the team is going to get worse. And by the way, Arizona is going to be threatening this year because they have a second-year quarterback who's multidimensional, and they have an absolutely stone-cold elite receiver. So that's a great combination. I'm sure Deshaun Watson's going, yo, Kyler Murray's got my guy. Oh, Bill O'Brien has no point being the GM there. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.